5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The dark side of the Huddle Moon. Immutably amazing crypto wisdom. On the March 2020 episode of Crypto Currently, Blockade and Josh shelter in place on the lunar surface and give you the latest crypto news. We give you an update on what's happening in Venezuela. We discussed Honest Coin, a new stable coin. We also talk about U.S. cash withdrawal crisis in New York City as people try to flee the city. We talk about how some in the U.S. want to regulate encryption and what that means for the crypto space. We hear about a congresswoman wanting to mint $2 trillion coins. That's not a joke. We discuss the Senate passing the largest rescue package in American history. And we also hear about a crypto pack that's fighting back and being funded by the Winklevoss twins and Brian Armstrong, among others. We give you some important Uniswap and Cardano updates and a few other surprises as well. You are now orbiting the dark side of the Huddle Moon.
Brought to you by SpectreCoin. SpectreCoin is a proof of anonymous state coin. So it's got ring signatures, it's got stealth addresses, it's got a Tor obfuscation already built in. And like I mentioned, it's a staking coin. So this is a passive income coin. If you just hold and stake, you receive more coins. It is ultra secure, ultra private. Your financial privacy is at stake. Like Bitcoin, but private. Like Monero, but with staking. SpectreProject.io.
Stand by. Dark Side of the Huddle Moon proudly uses the audio services of Eye the Sound. Beyond the amazing sound production, they've really been a sounding board, pun intended, for our show, giving us great customer support and constructive criticism and feedback. So if you want a little bit more personalized attention you're not going to get from a bigger provider, check out iTheSound.com.
And we're back with another lunar episode of Dark Side of the Huddle Moon. I'm Blockade here with Crazy Josh Igo. We're here doing the latest episode of Crypto Currently. Josh, how are you doing this day?
Yeah, what day is it for you, Katie? It's Saturday for me, Saturday morning, bright and early.
Yeah, it's Friday night for me. Prior to this recording, I watched a little show with the lady. We were supporting the local businesses, getting some luxury takeout pizza and supporting local breweries, getting some actually an Irish Red style beer and a nice little coconut porter. So we did that, and now we're here doing the show. And guess, cool. And Josh, you know what show I was watching?
No idea. Go on, tell us.
You ever heard of, are you more of the Lion King guy or Tiger King guy?
Lion King. I don't even know what Tiger King is. What is that?
All right. Well, next Crypto Currently, we're going to have to do the first 10 minutes or so of Tiger King. So Tiger King is basically the greatest docuseries to ever hit the planet. It's basically about this crazy tiger breeder who gets in a fight with this animal rights lady who is also completely crazy. And it's basically
a documentary.
It's basically peak America. It's like there's a flamboyant gay cowboy from Oklahoma who raises tigers, and he's battling this crazy animal rights lady who probably killed her husband. And it's got just about everything you can imagine in America. And Josh, I know, you know, sometimes it hurts my feelings. I know you've never visited America. It's also like tying, like throwing a little Jerry Springer and like a daytime soap and drama and like a murder mystery. And that's basically Tiger King.
All right. And does the guy have a mullet by any chance? I think I've seen the cover of that.
No, he has a blonde mullet, but I'm pretty sure he dyes his hair.
What a guy.
Anyways,
I'm just a big fan of anyone who's like, you know, business in the front and party in the back, that type of person.
Yeah, so, well, I think they have a new plugin for like if you want to like stream Netflix simultaneously or other shows. So maybe like I can wait to watch the last episode with you and we can record it on Squadcast and clip in some of her reactions into the next episode.
All right. Well, that sounds good. And I think that's a good launch pad into this episode, which is March Crypto Currently. Every month, we do a news wrap up about what's been going on in the crypto space. This is the March 2020 edition. We're right at the tail end of March, so we might be pushing getting this one out for the end of the month, but it'll be definitely out at the start of April at least. So we might call it the April 2020 crypto currently. Who knows?
I'm vetoing that. This is March, no matter what. We're getting it out at the end of, before the end of the month. Don't worry, buddy.
All right, we've got like 4 days to get it done, but I think we can do it. All right, so let's go. We're
crypto beast moding on the no corners. Don't worry.
Oh yeah, speaking of beast mode, have you seen? Well, of course you've seen them, but anyone else who hasn't seen them, go and check out Cade's workout videos. What inspired you to do those?
I just wanted to inspire the world by staying humble, but also bragging about myself. basically, I do some home workout videos. They're on my public Instagram. You know, if you find it, you find it. If not, you know, it's kind of a little Easter egg for Dark Side of the Hollow Moon hardcore listeners.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's good. I enjoyed it. It came really out of left field for me. I was like, all right, who's this guy? Oh, it's Cade. What's he doing? All right, he's benching his body weight. I don't know what else you were doing. You were lifting wine bottles up. Like,
yeah, which workout tip worked out the best for you and the fam?
Dude, like, I'm just gonna recommend everyone go and check it out and do the whole series. All right. So
All right, let's change it to a cryptographic perspective. What do you say?
All right, let's talk about crypto now.
All right. So the first one, we love to beat up on this country, and for good reason. We're trying to maybe save the world. But basically, we have a CoinSpice article. The banks are closing amid coronavirus fears. Citizens cannot access cash. So things in Venezuela, we didn't think they could get any worse, but now they have. Basically, they're closing the banks. They're closing all the businesses except non-essential services. And basically, all the essential services don't have any of the essential services, like food, clean water, medicine. And now they're cracking down on cash. And actually, there's like one ATM per 3,000 people or some crazy ratio, which is very atypical. And also, like a third of the ATMs are in Caracas. So basically, people can't access cash. They're cracking down on cash. They've closed down all the businesses that weren't already closed down. And these essential businesses that are open don't have anything. And basically, their Petro Christmas bonus never got paid out. So basically, Venezuela is basically running on fumes. And honestly, I don't think the government's going to last the entire year. It's got to collapse at some point.
Yeah, I've got to agree with you there. I mean, all things have to come to an end. Not all good things necessarily. That's not necessarily a good thing. Venezuela, I mean, it's going to be the same thing over and over, it looks like, until they basically stop electing socialist governments. People might learn eventually that eventually you run out of other people's money. That's the worst thing about socialism. So
yeah. I mean, it said 80% of the population is ill-equipped to prevent or treat the virus. Most of them have poor access to things like clean water and soap. I mean, you know, we've talked about how this virus is affecting first world countries like South Korea, the U.S., Spain,
the UK,
Italy
as well.
The UK. But like, imagine how it's, imagine how this virus is affecting a place like Venezuela. It's absolutely crazy, and it's kind of sad to think about in some ways.
Yeah, it is really strange. I find it weird that this virus has basically shut down the world, though. I find that pretty odd. I mean, it's good that we're trying to do social distancing to, I don't know, limit the amount of that it spreads or slow down the pace of its spreading. But I mean, okay, there's been quite a lot of deaths. I think I checked yesterday and it was over 25,000 people that have died while having the coronavirus. It doesn't mean they died because of the coronavirus, but it's due to complications associated with having the coronavirus and the underlying health conditions, right? That sounds like a lot of people, so there's no way to make light of that, and I'm not going to try and make light of it. We just need to put it in context, which means that since the day of the first outbreak, which is the 1st of December, it's 118 days today since it first started. It's approximately 200 deaths per day. And for context, I mean, even something like rubella or measles, still in 2020, when we've got like a vaccine for it, kills over 300 people per day. So it's not as if
the world isn't used to having some type of disease that kills like hundreds of people per day. So I don't understand why it's shutting down the entire world in such a way, and also why it's really damaging the financial system so badly. Seems like an excuse to print money, but in the way that it looks to me, I mean, from my perspective, they've managed to print $6 trillion over the last couple of weeks. I mean, what's going on there? How does it not even make sense?
Yeah, I mean, anyway, we'll see. We'll see if we still have this parabolic rise or not. But I still think social distancing is important. You know, I've been social distancing from No Corners for at least 2 years. So, and I think that's pretty important. I've kind of kept the fear virus off me and going full on full into crypto. But speaking of
crypto coins, what about the next topic, which is interesting, actually?
Yeah, speaking of being honest and keeping it real, I want to talk about Honestcoin, which is a fully compliant BCH stablecoin. And basically, it's a stablecoin built on BCH using the SLP protocol. And it's just another stablecoin to kind of add to the list of other stablecoins that are already out there. I think it's, you know, the more the merrier. I think forks are freedom, and I think it's nice to see it on the BCH chain. And also, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the naming. I think I really like Scott Adams and the way he talks about framing and doing something that's going to be catchy. And I think Honest Coin is really a catchy title for an Honest Coin, so I think it might gain some popularity. We'll see.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that stable coins, I mean, we've been talking to some people, and they have definitely expressed an interest in stable coins to prevent governments from stealing their money. So having a cryptocurrency that's a stable coin, spendable, and also you can't be just randomly taken off you by your government supposed to be looking after you, I think it's going to take off. I think it might take off somewhere like Venezuela as well. All right, so let's look at the next story.
Yeah.
Cash crisis, withdrawal limits spark bank run fear. Okay, so essentially, what's the gist of this? There's a cap on the amount of money that you can take out, and then people are getting worried about a bank run. Have you ever experienced a bank run before, Cade? I want to know. Have you ever seen one? Because I can remember seeing one back in, I think it was called Northern Rock, was a bank in the late 1990s or early 2000s in the UK. And I remember seeing like people queuing up around the corner of the street, just trying to hope that there was still cash in the bank. So I've only seen it once.
No, Josh, I'm from America, so I've never seen that. But I did see it in the movie It's a Wonderful Life.
But, you mean you're from America? You guys are the specialists at doing a bank run. You did that like in the Depression. There's photos of it. Like, what are you on about?
Yeah. Well, basically... Basically, the thing that's interesting about the article is kind of the panic. And basically, people are withdrawing $50,000 cash, or they're trying to. And also, just very, I think it's kind of funny that the banks are changing the rules. It's like, okay, your contract says you can withdraw, you know, $10,000 a day or $5,000 a day, but we're only letting you draw out $2,000 or $3,000. So basically, they either don't have the cash on hand, and they're basically saying, "Oh, it's a security risk."
Of course, they don't have the cash.
There's security risk for our customers, or this or that. Well, but also, it's in people's things that if they have 20K, they're supposed to be withdraw $10,000 daily, but they're only letting them withdraw $2,000, $3,000, $5,000.
They definitely don't have the cash. I mean, it's fractional reserve banking, so like it's like 20-1 the ratio of money that people think they have to money that banks actually have. So, you know, that's the problem with fractional reserve banking. When too many people want to get their money out, there's not the money there to get it out. So it all works well until it doesn't work. So I think it's pretty interesting. But again, these are quite high limits relatively to, I mean, people are trying to take out 30 to 50K and fling to the Hamptons. Well, first world problems indeed. In some places in Europe, there's like €100 cap on withdrawing. If I can remember, in Cyprus, they even basically said, "Oh yeah, that money in your bank account, yeah, half of that's ours, so don't bother about taking that."
Yeah,
we've done that before.
I guess it's, you know, For me, it's a little troubling, but yeah, when you can withdraw 20,000, when you can withdraw 5,000 daily versus $100 daily, which is like 120 euros, I guess it's a big difference. But another,
it's still a problem though. Is your money? Yeah, it should be in theory. So I get the principle's the same.
Yeah, and I think it's just like another thing that's making people wake up and distrust banks, especially the younger generation. And another thing is, there's another law being proposed in the U.S. to ban encryption, which makes things more private, mostly messaging and emails. And basically, like always, it's like, oh, we got to battle coronavirus and misinformation, or we got to battle terrorism or child trafficking or whatever the latest boogeyman is. And basically, it's really about imposing like this Orwellian surveillance state. And I kind of feel like, in some ways, although the U.S. is definitely not perfect, it's definitely not some utopian libertarian place that maybe it once was, that they're basically imposing the surveillance, and the surveillance is never going to go away. Once you get these laws, it's very hard to roll them back, whether it's surveillance, curtailing your free speech, curtailing your ability to defend yourself. I think it's just kind of a troubling thing. It's just being proposed, but it's in the pipeline, it looks like.
Well, I like Marty Bent's newsletter where he said, in the face of a spread of COVID-19, you better believe the incompetent kleptocrats are licking their lips in anticipation of the Stay Healthy Act. They're going to inevitably go after your civil liberties. So they will use your health and safety as emotional Trojan horses to lower your guard and leverage your fear to accept draconian measures that erode your civil liberties. Now, that really is interesting, and it echoes what an MP said in Parliament last week about we should obviously take measures to slow down the spread of coronavirus, however, not for one day longer than necessary when it comes to people's liberty. So I think he was right. I'll get that clip if I can and share it with you and put it in the show notes if I find it. And then it's very important that we don't let something like this, it could be a temporary thing, then lead to some type of more serious coercive control by the government. Like, one thing that people have been discussing about in the UK with these types of legislations is having a sunset clause. Do you know what a sunset clause is? Basically, it's about to make it simple, it's just that this is a law until X date. So they've already passed these laws, but with a sunset clause, so that in 1 year from now the laws become they basically are expired, so they no longer are laws. So I think that that's okay. I can accept something like that as long as the sunset clauses are there.
Yeah, but they might vote to, you know, retain it indefinitely. Yeah, that's definitely happened in the U.S. with certain gun legislation. It was a sunsetted, and then it was re-voted on, and it wasn't passed. So those things happen, but it's not as common as the other way of doing laws, which is permanently, I would imagine.
All right. Next topic then, Cade.
All right. So my next topic is from Touring Telegraph, and it's basically that the coronavirus didn't cause the crash and that Bitcoin recovery is going to take months. And basically, a lot of people, including Changpeng Zhao, the CEO of Binance, disagree. He believes that the world's economy is too weak. They've been hoarding cash, which, if you look at the stats, is very true. And basically, he's saying that, this was just maybe the excuse for governments, for financial institutions, for the people that are letting the money printers go wild. But basically, that this was always bound to happen with the money printing, with the soundness of the world economy, with some trade battles between the U.S. and China, and some other factors. And, now they're proposing all kinds of things. They're proposing to give everyone in the U.S. $2,000 a month, which is pretty unusual here. You know, maybe in some places they've experimented with universal basic incomes, but for the U.S. it's a quite foreign concept, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I find it interesting as well about CZ. I like his full name there, but everyone refers to him as CZ in crypto, right? And CZ actually has, well, Binance, I should say, Binance actually has over $1 billion in stable coins, which is pretty impressive. So they own quite a lot of stable coins. I'm sure that they have an interest in seeing how this all plays out, being one of the largest exchanges. However, they might be the largest exchange in people's minds, but this is a bit of a tangent, Cade. What about the liquidity on CoinMarketCap? Have you seen the new rankings that they've... It's kind of like in testing right now, but they're estimating liquidity of cryptocurrency exchanges rather than just their reported and adjusted trading volumes. Have you seen anything about that? The liquidity. So if you go on CoinMarketCap, instead of the currencies, the exchanges tab, and you go by liquidity, there are some quite surprising people on that list. And HitBTC is actually the most liquid exchange out of them all and only has 65 million liquid. So it's quite interesting how much trading is going on and how actually illiquid the crypto exchanges are in comparison to the amount of trading volumes that they have.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I don't really know what to make of that. You know, for me, I just try to buy the dips and hodl. But
well, it makes me think that the crypto markets are not as deep as they have purported themselves to be. Essentially, I mean, when the liquidity is only 65 million, and it's HitBTC, which is number one. HitBTC has been around a long time, but it's not the one on everyone's lips that when you think about the market leader, right? So I thought that that was pretty interesting. I'm sure we'll investigate that a little bit more later. Should we go to the next story?
Yeah. Going from Binance's, billion in stable coins, let's talk about a couple interesting stable coins that some U.S. politicians want to mint. And basically, a U.S. lawmaker, she's kind of famous or infamous for being controversial and an anti-Trump warrior. She wants the U.S. Treasury to issue two $1 trillion coins with no debt, and that's not a joke. And basically her tweet was saying, hey, real Donald Trump, let's provide relief from this crisis for people by giving preloaded debit cards to every person in America. No additional debt. We'll just mint two new coins. And if you go down, you see some other things. A very good response. It's sort of like a Casatius coin. No, there's no private key. The value is symbolic. No, the value doesn't come from the metal. It's worth $1 trillion because the Treasury decrees it. It's a hack to get around the debt ceiling. I know it doesn't make sense to me either. And then another response from Bruce Fenton. The rep is proposing to make two coins worth $50 each and say they are worth $1 trillion each. Then for our government to have the mint create artificial money on a computer and use that to buy the coins for ourselves. Seriously, that's the plan. So basically, it's MMT, and basically this person has no understanding of how money works or what money is. And, you know, this is a congresswoman in the U.S., and I don't think it's going to get passed, but you can't just print money and think it's going to work out. We've seen this happen. Like other guests have said, in Venezuela, even in Europe, in the Ukraine, in Zimbabwe, and other places, and even in the U.S., if you keep doing crazy stuff like this, it's not going to turn out good long term.
Yeah, it definitely won't turn out well. The only saving grace for the U.S. is the U.S. Army. So, I mean, as long as the U.S. military is strong, people are still going to be accepting dollars. Let's get real. I mean, any country that starts saying, nah, we don't like the petrodollar, thanks very much, they go, hello, welcome to the new state of war that we've created for you.
Yeah, and the U.S. has probably got all kinds of secret black ops technology and weapons that no one even knows about.
Yeah, without doubt. I mean, the military technology that we know about is obviously probably 10... Well, it's going to be 10 years out of date in terms of what they actually have, so...
Yeah, I remember the first one that really blew my mind was the B-2 bomber, and they were flying it for a long time before anyone knew about it, and people thought it was a UFO, and then they finally released it to the public, and I just couldn't believe it. I'm like, this is a $2 billion airplane that's, like, from, like, the future. It was crazy.
Yeah, man. I mean, you've got to give it to the American Army. It's pretty advanced, and... You've got to. That's why you got to thank the troops as an American. I mean, thank the troops for keeping your economy afloat, because you've been printing money like Zimbabwe, but relatively stable and strong purchasing power. So
yeah, money
you can
printer,
only thank
money
the US Army for that. There's no other way to explain it.
Yeah, well, the money printer go burr, but the rest of the world's been eating up those dollars like candy.
Yeah, you're right. All right, so let's go to the next one. Senate passes largest rescue package in American history.
Okay, so this really blew up in the news, and really everyone here was talking about it. Basically, the Dems blocked it for a day or two because it had a lot of pork. It had stuff nothing to do with the relief package. But basically, it passed unanimously, which is actually pretty surprising. It's basically a $2 trillion package, and you know, it's $250 billion for unemployment insurance, $300 billion just direct payments to households, $350 billion for loans, $500 billion for other loans and guarantees to businesses and states. And just the list goes on and on. $150 billion here, $220 billion there, $340 billion there. And basically, you know, it's the U.S. is, I guess, in many respects, the world's richest country, but it's also got the most debt of any country. And if you look at like all the countries that have the most debt, they're also the richest countries. And this house of cards can't continue forever, whether it's people that are more in the crypto space saying this or even crypto haters like Peter Schiff. Basically, at some point, the house of cards is going to come falling down and you're going to want something besides dollars. And I actually read a different article on Zero Hedge recently that said they think the window to buy gold and precious metals with fiat is closing. You know, there's a big supply and demand issue. And they think it could even decouple. Like at some point, like if you have gold and silver, you're just not going to sell it for fiat, which is kind of far out there. But I think it's something to think about, or at least a thought experiment that you should run in your head.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting stuff. I mean, but Trump supports this printing of money. So he said, look, I can't wait to sign it. Let's get going. So I wonder why. Maybe needs the economy to be propped up a little bit for the election. Yeah.
I don't know. I think... Well, I mean, a lot of people don't remember this. When he was just running in the Republican primaries, a lot of Republicans, conservatives, libertarians opposed him. They basically said, oh, he's a New York Democrat running as a Republican. So, you know, Trump is kind of all over the map, and sometimes he just does what's popular. Like, it doesn't matter, like, if it's more typically a left idea, Democratic idea, Republican idea, or something kind of... and the antithesis of both parties. I think he's been a lot more anti-war than most people in both parties, which I kind of like. But yeah, you know, I just think this backstop to help people, it's like, it's kind of like the bailouts. Like once you do it once, you're just going to keep doing it. Oh, you did it last time. Why won't you do it this time? You know, because, you know, a lot of people are hurting. A lot of people live paycheck to paycheck, but also it's like people do this because they know their government's going to bail them out. There's some, you know, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, I have empathy for you. I feel bad for you. But there's also people that are making $150,000 a year, $200,000 a year. They're living paycheck to paycheck and they're traveling all over the world and they're not saving 3 months of salary for when something bad happens. They're just maxing out their whatever their income is to the hilt and expecting everything to happen.
That's classic American lifestyle inflation for you there. I mean, there's a reason why a lot of those NBA players and NFL players get paid millions, and then a few years after their season's over or they're retired, they're broke. So they don't know how to basically handle it.
Yeah, I know you said you played basketball. Do you know who Vin Baker is?
Vin Baker, wasn't he? Well, he rings a bell, but I can't recall which. Exactly, he played for. But
all right, so basically, he blew
the famous story of losing most of his money.
Yeah, he basically blew at least $100 million. He made and lost $100 million, or spent it gambling and doing other things. And after he retired, he was working at Starbucks as a barista.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with Starbucks baristas, but I mean, if you've got $100 million in the bank, you shouldn't need to be working anywhere, really. And the fact that you managed to blow it all is in some sense impressive. I mean, what a mad lad in a way, but really they need some help. Luckily in the UK, a lot of the footballers aren't the brightest, let's be fair to them, but the Premier League and the FA have devised a system that basically encourages them to save most of their money, because there is a retirement fund and a special law, like a loophole for Premier League football players, that they can easily take advantage of, which allows them to save basically 90% of their income tax-free. So if they're smart about it, like some footballers have been very smart about it, like Michael Owen or Robbie Fowler, they're two examples of ex-football players that now own half of the real estate in Liverpool. They've been pretty savvy with their investments. So you can go both ways. I mean, if you get access to hundreds of thousands of dollars per week for kicking a ball or throwing a ball into a net or whatever, if you're a basketball player, then it might be easy just to go crazy and spend all of the money nonstop. But having some type of fallback plan is a good idea. And I think that that is kind of resonating now in some parts of the US, because I heard that you can't even skip college anymore. You have to do at least 1 year of college to get into the NBA now. Like, you're not allowed to try and you're not allowed to apply straight out of high school anymore.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that. But yeah, I think I kind of have mixed feelings about that. I feel like, you know, it's your responsibility to you know, take care of your own finances. But I think it's good that people are giving them tools, as long as it's optional, whether it's the, I think the NBA and NFL and other sports leagues in the US are doing that now, because it kind of gave them a black eye. Like, hey, we're giving you all this money and we're not telling you how to take care of it. You know, a lot of these people didn't come from a lot of money, so they just blow it. They don't know they have to pay taxes. They don't know that their career could be short. But yeah, I mean, Vin Baker definitely was very YOLO. So if I had to add a all-star YOLO squad, I'd add him to my YOLO squad. But and good luck to Vin Baker. Let's move on to the next YOLO squads,
do you know a guy called Archie Karras? Have you ever heard of this fighter? This Greek guy. All right, he's not a sports athlete by any stretch, but he's basically a mad lad gambler. He basically played. He played this game called Baccarat, which I'd never played. I don't even know what it is. But he played that for like a week straight and rolled it up to $50 million. And then he just kept on gambling and lost it all. And now he still plays like the 1-2 games and stuff. It's bizarre. Anyway, right, next topic.
Nice. All right. So with this legislation, of course, you're going to have people use their wealth and influence to fight back. So I found an article where the Winklevoss twins and Brian Armstrong are helping to fund a crypto-focused PAC, but funds will flow based on community votes as opposed to dollars. So this is pretty cool. Basically,
so
you're,
a PAC is a political action committee, right?
Yes. Yeah. So this is a way that you curry or gain influence when it comes to legislation or politicians in the U.S. And basically, it's very interesting the way they're doing it, because it's not, the PAC isn't all just like, oh, who donated the most money? Basically, they're trying to make it a little more egalitarian. They're using something called HODL votes. And we're on the dark side of the HODL moon, so we got to talk about HODL votes. So basically, donation points cost the square number of HODL votes, meaning it takes 4 votes to buy 2 points, 9 votes to buy 3 points, and so on. So basically, this cuts the advantage of wealthier donors while allowing everyone to kind of express a degree of preference. So if you donate a lot of money, you're going to get a little bit more voting power, but it's not going to be a one-to-one based on how much money you threw in. And I think it's good. You know, we've talked on earlier shows about pro and con crypto politicians, but it's only a matter of time before you're going to get a crypto focused PAC to kind of battle back against some of the maybe other bigger banks that are reluctant to accept crypto into the current paradigm.
Yeah, I find it interesting. HODLPAC.org. I'm just checking out the site right now. I mean, that's what you got to love about America. You can make a PAC about anything, it seems. So it's pretty fun. I think it's cool. I think it's necessary. I think it's only a matter of time before more Americans become aware of cryptocurrency, and therefore, that's why I'm very bullish about the future of cryptocurrency in general. All right, let's go to the next article, and then we'll start to wrap this up. Let's make this a quick march cryptocurrently.
Yeah. So the next one I want to talk about is Uniswap. They did a new iteration set for launch in Q2, and it's basically got a bunch of more upgrades. And a few of our other guests that we've had on have talked about it on on the podcast or off camera about how they're really a big fan of Uniswap. And basically, they're going to have more ERC-20 pairs, more manipulation-resistant price oracles and flash swaps, and a bunch of different upgrades. And basically, we've seen the volume increase a lot recently. And now you're going to be able to use it without mandatory exposure to ETH. There's going to be different trading pairs like a DAI USDC pair and some stablecoin pairs. And you're going to also do multi-step swaps and improve price oracles, which is basically there's ways before where you can kind of game the system. So you try and change the price feed in the oracle and kind of they could lose their arbitrage if they can't mine two consecutive blocks, kind of a stopgap against kind of gaming the system. And we've seen this in other sort of hacks too, but basically it's making it better, it's making it cheaper, it's giving it more functionality, and it's making it fairer, making the price oracles more fair, and making it difficult to game the system. So I actually haven't used Uniswap ever, but with the articles I've been reading and the guests we've been talking to, I really just want to test it out and play with it a little bit, because I think Ethereum is doing big things in 2020 with the DeFi space, and even Ethereum Classic is doing some cool things too. But I just think it's a cool project and one that we need to pay more attention to on the show.
Yeah, especially the last few weeks we've been speaking to people that have been working directly in DeFi. I think that DeFi is one of the growth areas in cryptocurrency, obviously. You've got privacy, you've got DeFi. I think these are the two areas that cryptocurrency has major strengths in. So I can just anticipate those two areas growing, going from strength to strength. All right, so Cardano, let's talk about the last article on today's show, which is Cardano releases solution.
Yeah,
and this is something Visa.
Yeah, so this is something we talked about with some guests that are probably, you're probably gonna hear the interviews after this episode, but we've been talking about scaling a lot. That's one of the key issues, and it could theoretically scale to 1 million transactions per second. And you know, Cardano's put in a lot of research and effort. This has been 5 years in development, and they've released a lot of papers that have been peer reviewed. And basically this new upgrade, Hydra, each user who connects to the network generates 10 hedge, which are throughput lanes for data and transactions. Because of that, the system reportedly gets faster and decreases its latency as it scales. So I think that's really revolutionary and different. Usually the more users, the more congested it gets. So basically it can already show that it can handle 1,000 transactions per second, but it can be further optimized. And it says, with 1,000 heads, the network could theoretically scale to 1 million transactions per second, comfortably in excess of current global payment systems such as Visa. And actually, the theoretical maximum is even higher. And it's really essentially the bottleneck becomes a network connection between the participants, not the protocol. And they didn't return a request for comment. But if this is true, this is really going to be good if you're a Cardano bag holder. And I think it's really interesting. And will it be Cardano? Will it be a layer two solution built on Ethereum or some other thing? But it's going to be something, and it's going to be soon, in my opinion. Maybe not this year, but I would say if not this year, 2021 or 2022, something's going to solve this, and it's going to really change the game.
Well, look at the partners that are involved in this. You've got the University of Tartu in Australia. In Estonia. You've got Eindhoven University. You've got University of Edinburgh. You've got University of Salerno. You've got the National Research Education Network of Greece. You've basically got an addition to input output, which is Cardano, the company behind Cardano, IBM. So GuardTime and well, having IBM there as well is interesting. So you've got some big names behind this, and they've obviously been spending the money that we've been sending the European Union. I'm glad that something useful came out of the European Union before the UK left.
Yeah. So that's nice. You missed one big name, though.
Which one?
The crypto cowboy himself, Charles Hoskinson. who helped with Ethereum. So he's the main guy, and I think he's the one who's steering this big project. But I think all the partnerships are really important too.
Well, I'm sure he's got a role in this, but I'm just looking at the privilegeproject.eu, the consortium page. Seems that input output is listed at the bottom. That might be just them being humble. Who knows?
Yeah, speaking of output, Blockade's Twitter output has really increased recently. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I like it. I like your social media posting more regularly. It's good. Hopefully you'll get some more fans with your workout videos as well. They're pretty good. You should put them on Twitter, not just Instagram.
And I'm a little curious. Like, you really haven't commented on my pretty groundbreaking mustache. What do you think of that?
Yeah, revolutionary.
Should I put that in the Dark Side of the Huddle Moon Instagram?
Yeah, maybe. I'm trying to think. It really reminds me of like some old European dictator. I can't remember which one it is. So I'm gonna try and, because there's plenty of them. I'll try and find the likeness and send it to you. It's a guy. I think it's one of the. I think it might be Franco. I'm not sure. Let's have a look. Well, I'll Google it later before we wrap this show up. So let's wrap the show up, and then we'll talk more after this.
Yeah. Send me the Wikipedia link. We'll put it in the show notes.
All right, Kate. So that's it for today's crypto currently in March 2020. Let's get this out before the end of the month. I think we can do it, given it's a fairly short episode today. A world record under 40 minutes.
Nice. So that'll do it for us today. So remember to quarantine, shelter in place, and social distance from no coiners on the dark side of the Huddle Moon.
Thank you for joining us on Dark Side of the Huddle Moon. If you haven't already subscribed, please do so. Also, be sure to join our Telegram group, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and follow us on BitChute and YouTube, where you can find all the episodes as well as highlights from previous episodes. You can also visit us at darksideofthehuddlemoon.com. Huddle Moon.